How far back can you trace the Lupino family in the theatre?
Well, I hear that it's 1634.
Of course, your real name is Lupino. Lane is your stage name, is that right?
Well, it isn't my stage name. It was a name that I had to take because of my great-aunt's wishes. You see, she was the famous actress and proprietress of the Britannia Theatre, Hoxton, Mrs. Sarah Lane. She had no offspring of her own, and when I started entering the profession, she wanted me to take the name of Lane. Well, my father didn't want me to take up a new name, so he hummed and hawed about it. My mother made a brilliant suggestion to call me the two surnames.
Yes.
And that's why I became Lupino Lane.
I see.
And incidentally, she, when she saw me, my great-aunt saw me first of all, she said, "Ah, here's a little nipper." And everybody's called me Nip ever since.
That's how you got your famous nickname. You made your first appearance on the stage at the ripe old age of three. Where was that?
At the Prince of Wales Theatre, Birmingham. Bester Tilly was principal boy, and amongst the cast, they all happened to have boys, children, you know?
Yes.
And it was decided for Bester Tilly's benefit to give her a big surprise. So they rehearsed all the kids to walk round and follow her round the stage in one of her songs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a great night came, and we were all lined up there and waiting to go on, and suddenly one of the bunch of kids started to cry. Well, as you know, once when one kid starts to cry, the rest follow suit. And I was too young to know anything about it, and I'm standing there with my mouth open wide, and I suddenly felt a push from behind, and it was my father. And I followed Bester Tilly round the stage. This caused quite a furor amongst the audience, but I was a tiny toddler at the time. But it was such a big success that the following night, which was the last night of the pantomime, the management sent round to my mother to know if she would allow me to do it again.
So they were an actor already. As a child, you toured with your parents, didn't you?
Oh, yes, all over the country.
Mm-hmm. When did you start off on your own?
When I was about 12.
Yes. On the music hall?
Yes.
What sort of an act were you doing?
Well, singing and dancing.
Yes.
I had quite a lot of fun, and I had a lot of help from famous actors and music hall artists like Little Titch, G.H. Chirgwin,
yes.
Mari Lloyd.
Well, then you left the music hall for review.
Yes. Cochrane happened to see my act, and made my father an offer for me to go into a West End review, which I did, at the Empire Leicester Square in Watch Your Step.
Yes. Then you did a lot of reviews. Weren't you in the famous Ziegfeld Follies in New York?
Oh, yes, I eventually came along. I was there for about 18 months. And I met Bill Rogers and Eddie Cantor.
Mm-hmm.
Became great friends of theirs.
Yes.
I always remember Bill Rogers wanted to do a sketch made up as a hick cowboy. And he came into my dressing room and he said, "Say, Lane," he said, "you know all about makeup." He said, "How do you put a beard on?" Well, I couldn't resist it. I put the beard on with the Vaseline instead of spirit gum. And I warned all the performers in the show to watch. And as the sketch went on, he got hotter and hotter. Bits of beard were floating around all over the stage. And when he came off, he threatened to kill me.
Well, now, Nip, you began your pantomime career when you were three. Are you playing this year?
No, not this year. I'm leaving it to my son, Laurie.
How many other Lupinos are keeping up the tradition?
Oh, I think about five.
Of course, you're the holder of a unique record in pantomime as the greatest exponent of the lost art of traps, aren't you?
Yes, I managed to do 63 traps in 6 minutes at the London Hippodrome.
Yes. The trap scene is where the leading man is chased all over the stage, and he disappears down through trap doors in the stage, and he's shot up from underneath the stage through other traps. That's roughly it, isn't it?
Well, roughly the idea, yes.
Pretty hazardous occupation.
Oh, it certainly is. We can have a very bad accident. For instance, my brother came out of a star trap once, and the point went right through his leg.
The star traps, there are different kinds of traps.
Yes, there's a star trap, a grave trap, leap, vamp, turn round doors, turn over table. In other words, you go through each hole of the scenery in and out in different manners.
Yes. How high do you go up in the air when you're shot up through a trap?
Well, when you come out of the star trap, my record is 10 feet to the ground.
It's done by a sort of counterbalance principle, I suppose.
Yes. You stand on a small platform below the stage, and instruct the men who have to pull the ropes. You say, "Are you ready?" They say, "Yes." And you say, "Go." And as the platform reaches the top of the stage, you take your beat.
Mm-hmm. Why is it a lost art? Why do we never see it nowadays?
Well, I think principally because the stages are not built for that kind of work. You see, the old theatres had traps already built in them.
Yes.
And be too expensive to put the traps in.
That's a great pity. Of course, Noel Gay wrote the music for one show you'll always be associated with, Me and My Girl. How many times do you think you've sung The Lambeth Walk?
Well, it's hard to say. I should think well over 6,000 times.
Had you any idea when the show opened at the Victoria Palace that it would be the smash hit it was?
Well, we hadn't an idea that it would be such a success it turned out to be, but I always had confidence in it. So had my mother, and before she died, she said, "Nip, stick to Me and My Girl, it's going to be a success." Well, when R.H. Gillespie asked me to go along and view the Victoria Palace with a view to taking a lease of it, I noticed the secondary lighting was night lights. And as my mother suffered from a phobia, she couldn't sleep in the dark without a nightlight, I thought it was a good sign, so I agreed to go to the Victoria Palace.
When did you start making films, Nip? You've made a good many, both here and in Hollywood.
Yes, I made about 150 in Hollywood.
Really?
I think I started about 1922.
One I shall always remember was the one you made with Maurice Chevalier, The Love Parade.
Yes. Ernest Lubitsch allowed me to direct all my own sequences in that picture.
You directed a lot of pictures.
Oh, yes. I directed most of my pictures in Hollywood. And also at the VIP, when I came back to England, I made, amongst them, I made The Mountains.
I remember that one, too.
And now I've got a surprise for you. It's about an elephant. You see, I was a golden toy at the Coliseum in an Indian play with music by Schumann.
Mm.
And the plot of the play was that I was to be crushed to death by an elephant. But I was allowed to go to the Emperor's table and pick the elephant I wished. So I go to the stable and pick a baby elephant, naturally. Well, a difficulty was to find a baby elephant. We went all over the country and eventually picked on Rosie the elephant. She was a real darling. She took a great fancy to me. Well, incidentally, during the rehearsals one day, I was going to the theatre, and the tune of Elephant Never Forgets, which it eventually became, ran through my head, and the words "elephant never forgets" seemed to be the right phrase. So, for fun, I wrote quickly a verse and chorus out and sang it to everybody at rehearsal. Peggy Ashcroft and Edward Ludwig Berger, the producer. And to our surprise, or my surprise, he said, "That is in. It has got to go in." So I sang this song to Rosie the Elephant.
Yes. What happened to Rosie afterwards? Did you ever come across her after the Golden Toy finished?
Well, I was on tour, and I happened to play Bristol, and I was told that Rosie the Elephant was at the zoo. So one day during the week, I went up to see her, and I told the trainer to bring her out onto the green, and that I would prove whether an elephant never forgets. Well, I stood at the end of the green, and I said, "Rosie," like I used to do to her on the stage. And she looked up, raised her trunk, trumpeted, and made a gallop towards me, and I had to run for my life.
All in affection, of course.
Oh, well, I hope so. Something that has always given me a thrill when I look back upon it was V-Night at the Victoria Palace. Everybody cheering and so on, and I went forward to make a speech, and I was feeling very emotional, like everybody else was, and I just didn't know what to say. And I looked down at Monty Mantovani, who was conducting for me, and suddenly an inspiration came to me, and I shouted to him, "Land of Hope and Glory." He quickly picked up the idea and struck up the keynote, and to my amazement, everybody stood there, and it was amazing to see tears running down people's faces, singing the Land of Hope and Glory.